Shalom, saints, and greetings to one and all in the lovely name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I thank for this opportunity, and I really extend my heartfelt greetings and love to each and every one of you. We are on a subject of the reflection of Israel's redemption, and today we see the last part of it, that God is going to renew a relationship with the nation Israel, a relationship where he would be considered he is their God and they are his people. A final portion where God will declare that his world of his grace, greatness and holiness to all the redeemed. As we see this, we would read this part again from Ezekiel 39 and the last verse. Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord. So when the Lord says, I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. So here God makes a declaration. God sees the final fulfillment of his desire upon this nation, how they would be a people where God's final love and his unconditional mercy that would be upon them. This shows how God would finally make his tabernacle in Israel. He would be their God and they shall be his people. They would carry, or that light of God's great glory will be seen upon the nation Israel. Now, when we see in parallel the church today, though we are brought together from all different places and isms and schisms, brought into one body of Christ, and God wants to build or renew a relationship where we never had such any time before. Now this promise, we would see, will ultimately be fulfilled when Israel is delivered from the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. Israel has a final deliverance, but before the final deliverance of this Antichrist, there would be a nation where God will tabernacle in them, where God would have renewed a relationship, and they would be called that he is their God and they are his people. But as we also see in Matthew 24, in that day Israel will live forever in peace under the Messiah's rule in the millennium kingdom of David. So there is going to come a time, there is going to come where this kingdom of Israel, prophetically spoken, will soon be established on the face of this earth. And as we see a parallel paradox in the church today, the church has been brought, are given this grace to be one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. As we come into this faith, we remember here one scripture, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now this portion of scripture, this prophecy, is not pointing to the denominations or to the other nominal Christian, but this is something that which will take place in the body of Christ, among his chosen ones. It is among the believers, it is among the ones who have professed Christ and Christianity, that the love of them will wax cold. And this period is where when we belong to the faith and when we are a part of this body of Christ. But it's something that we need to be very, very careful in understanding how it works. We have some of the portions like in the Gospel of Matthew. I would love to narrate it to you. We see these events in the life of Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, who was chosen, who lived close to Christ, who was a witness, who confessed that he has tremendous love for him and he is ready to die for him. And after all these things, when the final stage where Christ was to be betrayed and going to the cross as a sacrifice, we see these five stages in the life of Peter, which are very important for us to introspect. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33 and 34. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now here in this first stage, Peter's denial to Christ. He confesses, I love you so much, no matter, I will never be offended in thee. But Jesus prophetically tells him, Say, verily I say unto thee, that this night, this very night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Here we see Peter with lots of emotion and less of devotion. His heart is full of emotions. I love you. I will never leave you. I really care and love you from all of my heart. But the devotion rises from the spirit. We see when we focus on our love for God, instead God's love for us, your fire starts to die. There is a fire that God has kindled in our lives. And if we just imagine, I am the one who love him. But instead, we must recognize it is God who first loved us. And that keeps the torch of his fire burning bright in our lives. Not that I love him, but he loves me. Now this was the first stage where we see in the life of Peter, even after he was brought together, counted among the elect, a chosen one, but yet there were certain follies inside of him. Even believers today who are actually come into the faith, into the body of faith, who are actually professing their love for Christ, and I am being baptized in the Lord, but yet at a certain stage the love of many is getting cold. It's growing cold. The reason is because we do not wait and see that it is the Lord who loves me and not I who love him. It is not my emotions that hold him, but it is the devotion, my devotion towards him, that actually brings me or gathers me strong into his body. The first love, the fire that which the Lord kindled in us as Christians, as believers, as his bride saints, is slowly getting cold and cold. It's waxing cold. We have to be careful that the fire of the Lord may never diminish from our lives. His oil may always be in our vessels. Amen. The second thing we see in the life of Peter, that Peter is the first sleeping saint. In Matthew chapter 26 verse 40, and the scripture says, And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? This is something that the Lord told, that you couldn't watch with me for 1 hour. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now we see there is a expression where the Lord calls him Simon, Simon. Now, this is the last days in the life of Jesus' ministry. When Jesus chose Simon, he says, now you no longer be called Simon, but you'll be called Peter. Now, for 3.5 years almost, he was known and called as Peter. But here, Jesus calls him Simon, Simon. You know, when our old nature comes up, our old name, our old self, when that comes up, it shows a life of prayerlessness, which is a life of selfishness, blindness. And as Jesus invites Peter for a prayer meeting, and Peter goes for this prayer meeting, and Peter is the first sleeping saint. And Jesus calls him by his old name, Simon, Simon. You know, when our prayer life goes to sleep, you know, the fire within us goes diminish, it goes off. When we keep doing nothing, we simply drift away from the Lord. We don't have to go away by taking some efforts, but we just remain idle and do nothing. We will find ourselves one day, we have drifted a great distance from the Lord. So we learn a lesson here that Peter, though he was a chosen one, he was now into the chosen body of faith, yet he lost his fire. He denied the Lord. He became a sleeping saint who lost his old nature once again, came up, and he began to drift away from the Lord. The third thing that what we see in the life of Peter is Peter begins now to follow Jesus from a distance. He keeps a distance. And this is a very phenomenal type that what we see in Matthew 26 verse 58. And we see the scripture reads, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now, Peter was a believer. He knew that he loved the Lord. He wanted to know what was happening. He wanted to be, but yet he kept a distance. He did not want to become a sacrifice. He did not want to put the blame on himself. You know, many times when we come, when our body of faith is growing steadily, there are a great number of believers who do not want to get offended, who do not want to go close to the Lord in his truth, who says, okay, I am in the truth, but let me also be in the world and enjoy a bit of the world, because I am not of the world, but I know my limits. I know what I am supposed to do. Where am I supposed to be? So they neither get totally involved in the Lord, neither they get totally involved in the world, but they try to take and keep a distance between the two. And so what Peter began to do. And as he followed him, keeping a distance, trying to keep a life of comfort, casual, and no longer as a sacrifice for Jesus. So this is something that is happening today as God is now building us up. He has put us into one body, but yet there is a distance that is maintained. God wants to break every barrier so that there may not be any distance, but there would be consistency, there would be a union between the Lord and the body of Christ. Now we read a scripture in Mark chapter 14 verse 54. Peter followed him afar off even unto the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. He went and took comfort of a strange fire. God had kindled a fire in his heart, but he went and he took the shelter of a different fire. And when we try to take comfort with the fire of the world, which is a strange fire, we come into serious problems. Peter began to mess his life. He began to warm himself, get the comfort of a wrong fire. He wanted God's grace, but this grace was too much of greasy grace. And we see that even though he could see Jesus afar off and know what was happening, but his dedication and his sacrifice was far off from the Lord. So we see Peter at this stage warming at a wrong fire. Peter should have been with the Lord, but he was fearful. He was afraid. He feared for his life. So, even so today, as we dwell in this church where God has sealed the body by his earnest of his spirit, we try to look for the comforts of this world, the things of the world where we take warmth of a strange fire. The fifth point we see here, Peter returning to his old life. And here he decides that he will go back to fishing. In John chapter 21 verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Peter tried and tried whole night, but he caught nothing. And in the early morning, the Lord meets them. Have you caught anything? What is it, Peter? How is your fishing going on? Have you any fish? And says, we have caught nothing. Now, this is the words that Jesus said. Put your net onto the other side. And then they were able to catch such amount of fish where their nets began to tear and break. Now, God's blessing, you know, comes in total obedience and remaining subjective to his will at every cost. If we just at a certain time, Satan has trying to blind us even at the point where we are supposed to be blessed to a greatest extent. So I remember the words of Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 22. It says, Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. May God bless us and keep us in the unity of the faith. God bless you, saints. Stay blessed till we meet again.